Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting time with us. How Betty Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
And guys, we have a fun one for you today. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Follow. I sometimes forget to say that, so I'm saying it at the top of our stream right now. And thank you all to our subscribers on YouTube, our podcasts, and all over the listening platforms here on Facebook. Shout out to all the groups we're connected with. Of course, the Ultimate Fashion History. Step back into the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and there's a 60s, 70s, 80s, and Femme Patels, and all those great groups. Go find them all on Facebook. They're a lot of fun, and I hope to, of course, the Betty Davis fan club, and then the Betty Davis page. So hopefully, you know, I can interact some more, but when I do get on there, it's a lot of fun, and that's how we keep these movies alive. So Georgia, today we have a really fun one. What is our movie for today?
When Harry Met Sally from 1989.
Yes, and I am a When Harry Met Sally virgin. Usually time it's Georgia who hasn't seen something, but I have not seen this one, and so I am looking forward to that. So here we go, and I'll use an IMDb. And yes, it is When Harry Met Sally. And we can see the credits right now. Directed by Rob Reiner, of course, everyone's favorite. I'm going to stop calling him that because he has certainly outgrown and surpassed that as far as his professional career goes. That name from Meathead, I'm going to just say it, Meathead from Archie Bunker, you know. But no, he is no longer Meathead. He is great. I wonder what he's doing recently. Georgia, did you look up and see if he's doing anything, any recent projects?
No, I didn't. I just was aware of some of the other work that he's done and that he's famous for, because he's done such an eclectic number of movies, you know, because he did Stand By Me, Spinal Tap, Misery, yes. The Princess Bride, A Few Good Men. You know, I mean, he can't be put into one category because he's done so many.
Yes, absolutely. And so we absolutely, those movies, love him, love those movies. And shout out to him for leaving Meathead behind.
Yeah, and you know, something that a lot of people don't know is that he was married to Penny Marshall, mm-hmm. who played Laverne of Laverne and Shirley. Yes. And when his marriage split up from her, he was having issues with his own dating and love life. And that was the impetus and the inspiration for coming up with the idea for this movie. And so he collaborated with the great Nora Ephron, and that's how they came up with the premise for this movie.
Yes, and Nora Ephron in her own right is just, in my opinion, one of the best, not just romantic comedy writers, but just screenplay writer and just a writer, period. And so she left us going on about 12 years ago, and I was really hurt by that. And so here's some of her resume, if you will. And I mean, she worked with Mike Nichols, and I mean, so just go check her out, you know, because we don't want to get too much in the weeds, but you will be shocked of the stuff this woman has written and that you love. And you know, you all may already know this stuff, but she's an Oscar winner. Look how many times she's been nominated. And she's just funny by herself. So, you know, I could go on and on about her. But yeah, Georgia, go else. What other trivia do you have for us as well?
Well, this movie, she was nominated, you know, for best screenplay for this. She didn't win, but, you know, shot her to the forefront, because we're starting to see romantic comedies from a woman's point of view. Mm-hmm. And so the woman's parts are very well written. Yes. You'll notice in this movie.
Yes.
And this starts us with the premise of...
Well, let's talk about the cast and crew for a hot minute.
Yeah, sure.
So it stars Billy Crystal, and well, this is an older picture of him. Y'all saw him in the trailers. But yeah, Billy Crystal, and then Meg Ryan, and who's kind of disappeared a little bit in recent years. And you can go on YouTube and find out why she disappeared. So here they are in the movie, and just iconic movie. But anyway, you can go and figure out, you know, what happened to her and blah, 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 and that type of stuff. But and Carrie Fisher, another, and I forgot Carrie Fisher was, even though I hadn't seen it, but I kind of followed her career. And of course, we know her from You Know What, Princess You Know Who. So, but she did other things, like Seinfeld said about some little thing, some little calculator gave his dad to compute the tip. But she did other things. She's a writer in her own stead. So here she is, and she just left us recently, her and her mom. So Carrie's been 2016. Dang, yeah. Goodness gracious. Her and her mom, Debbie Reynolds, for those who, here we go, Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, who died like right after, I don't know, the same day or like the next day. It was like literally right after her daughter died. I'm not trying to be funny, like she was like dropped dead, which was just heartbreaking. But Carrie Fisher is hilarious. She is hilarious. So, and there's just a whole other host of great people. Bruno Kirby played the other friend, Jess. And we know him. He's been in a multitude of things. But so go ahead and get us started about the premise, Georgia.
Well, it raises the question, can men and women ever be just friends? Can they be strictly platonic without sex getting in the way? And so that's the big question the movie explores. And so they take us on this journey, and I'll go a little bit into the plot of the movie. You find the two of them have just recently graduated from the University of Chicago. And so Harry is having a ride from Chicago to New York with her. And so he comes on to her, she rebuffs him, you know, and then of course, then nothing happens and they run into each other again 5 years later. Mm-hmm. And you can start to see the progression of as they start to live more of life and have experiences, make mistakes. And then the third time they get together, he has just had a recent going through a divorce. She's had a bad breakup. And so they start helping each other as they struggle to get over their breakups, and they start to lean on each other as confidants. Mm-hmm. And so then there is a pivotal part of the movie, you know, where they succumb to temptation, and it changes the trajectory of their relationship somewhat. And so you see them as they navigate this new development in their relationship. The ending is very much earned. And even though some people, you know, don't like a happily ever after, this, I think, was you're happy to see them because they have really struggled like all realistic relationships are. You go through so much and they've earned it. So it's one of these feel good movies. It really is.
Now, tell me, because you saw, did you see this when it came out or you saw it later in life?
I saw when it first came out, and then I saw it again 35 years later, just the other day.
All right. So tell me, can you go back in time in your mind, wherever you were in your life? You don't have to give us the dirty, dirty details, but if you do, we will certainly listen. Tell us, what did you think about this movie when it came out, when you first saw it? I was going to go there with you. So tell me what was on your mind.
You know, I didn't understand the depth or complexity as much when I saw it the first time. I just thought, oh, this is funny. And the Harry character, I didn't especially see him as a handsome, romantic leading man.
Exactly. I was like, no, sir. You lucky with it. Anyway, go ahead.
And so when I saw it the first time, I thought, I didn't really understand it the way I do now. And so I appreciate it so much more. And
now, what age group, if you don't mind me, what was your age, not age group, but what was your age when you saw, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm going to say middle to early 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was it about it that you didn't get?
About how it is when you find somebody that you truly love. There's so many things that are kind of amazing about it, because relationships can sometimes start in a very random way. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of luck and coincidence in it, but it's the work that goes into it for somebody. I think the thing that I learned from this time when I saw it was, and then I didn't appreciate quite as much, is in order to have a very satisfying relationship or marriage, you have to be really, really great to friends. That's the foundation of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
And, you know, one of the things that I saw is like, okay, you can see how people are. My grandfather, when I was a teenager, he would say, nobody should get married until they're 30. And I could not see the wisdom in it then. Yes. I thought, oh my God, I'll be an old maid. But you know, what happens is, you know, when I see this movie, you see them in their 20s. Sometimes people in their 20s can be kind of very opinionated and kind of obnoxious at times. Mm-hmm. And so you have to live a little bit, get knocked around a little bit. I hate that terminology, but mm-hmm. in order to really find yourself and to mature, you really have to mature, and you're going to make a much better partner and know what you want a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was happening in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to come into your own. And so I think there's a little bit of wisdom in this movie, because you see that's kind of what's happening with them, because they wouldn't have been right for each other in their 20s. They right. had to like have loved and lost a little bit before they could truly appreciate each other.
Yeah. I have to confess, first of all, I thought it was going to be a make me like it. But then when I realized Nora Ephron had written it, I was like, oh, okay, I'll be okay. Because like you said, I don't like romantic comedies. This is top shelf. All romantic comedies obviously aren't written the same, but this is top shelf, and anything Nora Ephron did is top shelf. But anyway, so I must make a confession, Georgia. I was cringing watching this, because this is kind of how me and my husband got together. It's almost like perfectly the story, perfect. And I was cringing because I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so embarrassed, because, you know, I could have lost the love of my life, because, you know how we all, girl, you know how women are. This person doesn't look this way or whatever. And you know, my husband he's gorgeous to me. But you know, when you're right, because I met my husband, I was a teenager, and he was now y'all, you come for my husband now. We were just friends. But yeah, he was a grown, not an old man, but I was a teen. Let me stop talking, because y'all might try to come back and retroactively get my man and now. But anyway, but I was a very mature teenager. Let me just say that. Not mind wise, I was very. So anyway, let's get past that. Talking too much. But like I said, we do have a age gap between us, but it was always platonic, just friends. So fast forward. Anyway, I could understand, and I get what you're saying, what your grandfather said about everyone should wait till at least they're 30-ish to get married. Certainly for men, because men, by that time, hopefully, if you're not a bum, you've established yourself. Women, you know, you're right. We come from that old school where you're old maid if you hit your, like, mid-20s and you ain't married. You know, not anymore. Like, that's old school. But, you know, youth is always worshipped. So, but yeah, girl, I love this movie because it was brutally honest. Everything in it, it was, Nora Ephron was spot on. And it was so funny. So tell me, were there any scenes that tore you up? Because I have one that just tore me up. It shouldn't have been funny, but they created it to be funny. And the subject wasn't funny, but it was funny. So do you have any favorite scenes?
Well, okay, we can't get through a review of this movie without talking about The one that occurred in Katz's Deli.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's the A number one scene. Right.
I don't know why, but whenever I see that, it's just like, I am laugh, but it's an embarrassed laugh. But you know, when they did the first screening of this movie, what happened was that all of the women were laughing and all of the men in the test audience, they were silent.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all should know this scene. I don't want to get copyright struck, but just type in When Harry Met Sally and the scene, and you'll know it's the scene, because it was like, I think that's why it got its R rating, because, I mean, it was an innocent movie, you know, but yes, that's why it got the R rating. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that really I'd forgotten about the first time I saw this movie 35 years ago was how Harry had really evolved. And then when he saw his wife, or soon to be ex-wife, mm-hmm. with this other man, you could tell how profoundly it affected him, how deeply hurt he was. And
sorry for spoilers. We should have said spoilers. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Oops, sorry, sorry. So sorry.
Sorry.
But I think that really kind of surprised me a little bit. But there's some things in here that just, to me, are so funny about the differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, first of all, let's talk about how they differed in the way they viewed Casablanca. I have to side with him. He was right. I disagree with her. She was wrong. She didn't seem to understand Casablanca that well, because she thought that Ingrid Bergman should have run off. She should have. I mean, she didn't really get it. She didn't see how good it would have been to be with Humphrey Bogart's character. She says, yeah, who would want to be with, you know, some guy who runs a bar and blah, 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 all that. And she didn't understand the sacrifice and doing it. She gave up the great love of her life to do the, you know what I'm saying? She gave that up. And that's what's so poignant about it. She didn't seem to get it, but Harry did. So I agreed with Harry's viewpoint on it.
So I guess you're either in one camp or the other, the Victor Laszlo, I think his name is, or the Rick camp, Rick's camp.
Yes.
I have to think about it. I don't know. I have to really think about it. And I could see Billy. I could see both viewpoints. Well, let me just say, old school women like Ingrid Bergman, like that old school, they'd have did what she did. New school, the modern woman, they'd have took off with Rick, married him, divorced him, took over Casablanca, handed him over to the nearest Nazi or whatever it is. That's what today's bitch, I mean woman, would do.
Started screwing
Sam and everybody. Try to pass off Sam's baby to Rick, and he'd be like, oh hell no. So anyway, that's my
thing.
I should make that movie. Yeah, I'm copywriting it. Don't y'all steal my ideas. But
no, I won't.
Okay, so that was funny. So you got any other scenes?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that to me was hilarious was the difference in the man's dream and the woman's dream. He's talking about this dream. And the difference between his sex dream and her sex dream. I just thought this was I was laughing pretty hard at that. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and only Nora Ephron could write something like that, because it was so ridiculous. It was so damn ridiculous. It was hilarious.
It was, and it was coupled with, you know, Billy Crystal's deadpan and his witty delivery, because he developed this as years as a stand-up comic, and it really shows.
Yes.
So he's just really good the way he does it.
Right, right. What's funny about that, let me see. I'm trying to show the screen. Yeah. So this is, I think this is the scene when they talk about the sex dream. just go look at it. I will not even try to. And look how beautiful. I pulled this up before you even started talking about it. Look at how beautiful New York is in the fall. It's gorgeous.
Yes, New England in the fall.
Yeah.
Oh,
and New Jersey in the fall. It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's so picturesque. But yeah, this was the sex dream. And so what else? Any other scenes?
Oh, yeah. There's a scene where, like, there's a couple of scenes to me that were, they did a split screen and they're both watching the same thing, yeah. But the way they do it, it looks like they're side by side together. And that reminded me of?
Hmm.
That reminded me of those like old Doris Day and Rock Hudson's movies. It's an element like pillow talk, like pillow old Hollywood talk. Romance.
It sure did. I think, well, that was on purpose. You know, that was on purpose. To harken back to that. I didn't even think about that. You are so right. Let me see if I can find a picture of that. Oh, here we go. Let's share this one. And now, did you, at this time, at this viewing on a pass, did you ever feel like, okay, y'all two can't see that y'all need to be together? Or did you like, you like, well, you know, it should just happen naturally or what?
I thought that they should be together because I saw how they both would just very naturally turn to each other. And just, they were so uninhibited about the way they shared everything
right.
with each other. And I thought, you know, that kind of emotional, the way they just synced with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first I thought there were opposites and I thought, oh no, opposites attract. This isn't right. But then I saw how they really
right.
started to fit with each other and how good they were and like how they would comfort each other, relying. They yeah. shared all kinds of their hopes, their dreams, their fears, everything together. And I thought, yeah, these two really do. They do belong together.
Now, did you like Billy Crystal, his character as a man, did you like his character? Or did you like the men in the movie?
At the beginning, I did not like Billy Crystal because I felt he was too much of a skirt chasing on the make. That's a nice way of putting it.
To borrow the vernacular. He's a guy.
He was like, I thought he was, I did not like him at the beginning of the movie. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time went on, he started to really endear himself so much.
Yeah.
And because you can see a little bit of his insecurities coming out. And then on top of that, he did things that showed that he was just genuinely caring. Mm-hmm. And he would share secrets about men. And there was a couple of things in there I thought were like, eh, you know?
Ha.
Like,
oh man, that's funny.
You know, but then you see him becoming like, you can tell he really is starting to put her, he's starting to like think of her in terms as somebody he truly deeply cares about. You can see that happening, and he just can't imagine life without her, and she's. And, you know, he accepts her in spite of all her little crazy quirks and
her ordering food. Girl, I was dead because I have a friend like that. And you have to really like somebody to deal with that because that's insane. Her ordering that food and girl with her at that mailbox, I was dead.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, I thought, insane. Oh, my God, that would drive me nuts in a restaurant every time to do that.
She's out of her mind. And how he tried to cape for her and say, oh, she orders so well. But that's based on Nora Ephron. So, and I have a clip. I'm going to share it from YouTube, her and Reiner, Ephron and Reiner talking about the movie. So for me, the one of the funniest scenes to me, and it should not have been funny, was this. Him talking about moving out. And when he found out that his wife was leaving him and getting divorced, girl, I was crying. I was like crying, laughing. That was so funny. Don't mess with Mr. Zero. And so Bruno Kirby's character, Jess, I think, says, so Mr. Zero found out you were getting a divorce before you did. He said, yeah, Mr. Zero was one of the movers who was moving. The man came home and the wife was literally moving out. Telling them I don't love you anymore. And I'm sorry, we all spoiled it, but go look at it because it's, you know, we can't do any justice. And so Bruno Kirby just says, so one of the movers don't mess with me. So Mr. Zero found out you were getting the divorce before you were. And whilst they're at the, and so that's why I have the New York Yankees hat on, because we couldn't remember it was the Yankee, typical broads. Couldn't remember if it was they were at the Mets or the Yankees game. But anyway, that's why I have my hair like that, and I have the cap on. I'm trying to do the Meg Ryan shag is under the cap, and that's why I have the New York baseball cap on. But anyway, so they're at the baseball game, guys, and poor Billy Crystal's character is pouring his heart out, just devastated by this ambush, and they have to keep doing the wave, y'all. What's it? Yeah, I'm getting divorced. Up and down we go. Yeah, my wife is screwing the lawyer. And she told him she didn't love me no more. Up comes and down go. Girl, I was like, Nora Ephron and Reiner are out of their minds writing this. Girl, I said, this is not funny. This poor man is being destroyed.
It was just the harshest thing I ever heard.
Yeah. Girl, I was crying. I said, this is not funny. But it was hilarious. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't funny. It was freaking hilarious. So that scene, her ordering like a mad woman and at the mailbox just took me out. And Carrie Fisher, of course, girl, when Carrie Fisher pulled out that Rolodex, I want to slide under the doggone bed. I said, and Carrie Fisher, these people should have been nominated for Oscars or Golden Globe. I don't know if they were, but I didn't look it up. But Carrie Fisher was so underrated as an actress, a comedic actress, because she was so matter of fact. But I think she was playing herself. It, you know, like it is what it is, you know. And I, so if y'all only know her from Star Wars, you're doing yourself a disservice. Go look at her one woman performances and just her interviews. The woman is a riot. She is naturally freaking funny. She is so rootlessly funny. And so Nora Ephron. So before I do show the interview with Nora, I'm not gonna show all of it, but Rob Reiner and Nora Ephron, George, is there anything else you want to talk about with the movie? I love this movie. I thought it was going to be a make me like it. I was shocked. It was so good, and I would actually look at it again.
Well, Moya, I am so thrilled, and I'm proud of you, because I know that rom-coms aren't your thing. and you know, rom-coms don't get much respect because they're so formulaic.
Yeah.
And they all seem to follow a rather very familiar plot.
Yeah.
But, you know, rom-coms also don't push the boundaries of cinema. But this is one of the enduring classics of the genre. And this is the gold standard. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of holding my breath and I thought, oh, I hope Moya likes this one because there's just so much clever, and it's just very, it's kind of real.
Yes.
And it's witty. The acting and the directing and the writing are all so good. And I thought, oh, I hope Moya kind of can, you know, overcome. I mean, the characters are sometimes kind of like in their own way, you know, they're kind of.
But they were real. They were very real. I loved it. It was brutally honest. Like, if you couldn't see yourself, and I kept saying, could the millennials and the Gen Ys and Zs and what is the alpha now? Whatever, what a kid. The alphas are kids, but can they see themselves in that? And like I said, it was so honest, and the men were men and the women were women, and you did have some feminist undertones, but it wasn't like ball kicking, trying to just break men down. And when Bruno Kirby's character got rid of that table, girl, and when Carrie Fisher said what she said and he got rid of that table, girl, I was howling. Because I remember moving in with my husband, and that's what women, even though the table was, I didn't have, the table was good if you were in like a country western bar or something like that, you know, but, you know, in that setting, and maybe it wasn't the best. But you know, women, that's how we do, Georgia. When we come in, girl, we come in a literally clean house. And we just take over, and, you know, and the poor guy, you know, if he ever wants to have sex again, he's not going to tell you anything.
Well, I do want to mention something about the actual score of the movie, or maybe I should say soundtrack, because, you know, some movies have a score. This didn't have a score. It had a soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautifully done. by there was Ella Fitzgerald, yeah, and there was
Ben Sinatra.
Yes, yeah. And Louis Armstrong, yeah. I think. And yeah. And so I thought that the movie, if you pay attention, the music complements the mood and also the action.
Yes.
And this is really the movie that put Harry Connick Jr. on the map, because mm-hmm. he got a Grammy for Best Male Vocal Artist. And so the soundtrack, he was only 21 years old when he did this. Mm-hmm. And so it really adds such mm-hmm. an element of class and timelessness mm-hmm. to the movie, the soundtrack. So I just wanted to bring that out to y'all.
And we forgot about the little, well, go ahead. We're probably going to say the same thing. Go ahead.
No, Moya, I'm done with the music part of it.
No, I was just going to say, we forgot about the little vignettes with the older married couples that
yes.
were intermittently placed in the movies, and they were talking about how they met, and it was just so cute. And some of those stories you'll see, well, I'm not gonna play the whole thing. They were based on real stories. Rob Reiner's, some people he knew. So these were all actors. I think for the most part. So when you see the older couples in the movie, that they are actors, but those stories, a lot of them are based on actual stories. Especially I think like the if it wasn't the first one, what a he has like an accent, and what I can't remember, girl, but anyway, it was one of his business partner's father told that story when he took one look at the lady and he said, "That's the lady I'm gonna marry." I think that's it. But anyway, so cute. So we should all aspire to that, those of us who are married. And then at the end you see Harry and Sally, they sit on a couch as well, and they're trying to project, you know, their future, which was cool. So anyway, just really quick, shout out to, wait, let me see, who is this? Okay, Film Magicians. Shout out to them. This is on their page, but they shared this this interview when Harry met Sally. So just with Efron and Rhino. So just a little taste of this, and you can go to YouTube and go to Film Magicians. I'll leave a link in the description for those of you who want to check it out. So.
We've talked about before how we first started working on this together, and just like every married couple in the world, we couldn't remember exactly,
like, was it 1984 or 1985?
Right.
Lunch at the Russian Tea.
Yeah, I remember meeting at the Russian Tea Room, and I remember pitching you an idea that you completely rejected.
That's right, and it was very embarrassing because it was before we'd even ordered lunch.
Right, right. So. I should have waited till we ate a little bit and we were having our coffee.
But it was okay, though, because we got the idea out of the way.
Yeah.
And then we had a conversation. You, me, and Andy Scheinman.
Right.
You sort of talked about your life,
right.
Your lives.
Right.
Your lives as single guys.
Right.
And then that was the end of the lunch. Then you
right.
came back to New York. You were staying in a hotel in Central Park South.
Right.
And I went up to your room.
And all I remember saying is that I had an idea. I didn't know what it was going to be. I had an idea. Scenes from a friendship. It was basically, I had seen Ingmar Bergman's Scenes from a Marriage, and I was trying to find any way that I could codify in some kind of screenplay form all of the experiences that I had been going through as a single person for like 10 years.
Yeah, that
and
is
making...
so not what happened.
What happened? What did I say to you?
What you said was that you had this idea for a movie, that you'd
right.
always loved this idea. Two people become friends
right.
at the end of the first major relationship in each of their lives,
right.
and they make a decision not to have sex because it will ruin the friendship, and then they have sex, and it
ruins the
friendship. That's what you said. That was it, and that's the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said it, and this was not the second idea you'd thrown at me. This was like you'd come in with a whole other thing. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember. I remember the first thing I threw out. I remember you rejecting it.
And there was a second thing, and then you said, this sort of is a coda to the whole... Well, this meeting didn't work either, but I'll throw this one out.
I'll throw
there.
This out and see if you'll take
and
it.
And I said,
yeah, you
I
bit
can
right
do
away.
That.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can do that. Yeah. I immediately saw beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
I remember getting in a taxi to go home and absolutely knowing the structure of the movie, knowing that it started before it really started.
Right.
That it would be a couple that kept bumping into each other at all the wrong moments.
Times in their lives, yeah.
And then suddenly.
Right.
You know,
I remember that the
and So I'm glad they said this, because those of you who are Seinfeld fans, that Seinfeld totally borrowed from Harry Met Sally. A lot of the storylines and Jerry's relationship with Elaine. This is probably no revelation to y'all, but by me never seeing this, or this first time seeing it, like, oh my gosh, this is like, Seinfeld was like the sitcom of When Harry Met Sally. Georgia, what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, you can definitely tell that they got a lot of their ideas from that. But some people think that this movie got its ideas from Woody Allen's movie, like Annie Hall. But yeah. I'd have to revisit that movie, because I'm not really sure about it. But this one was just more fun.
Yeah,
to me, it's just a lot more. Yeah, and Seinfeld is like that. Yeah, the observations, the being cynical and philosophical and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
sure. I can see that, definitely.
And I mean, just the faking orgasms—that was a storyline. Them always eating it at the deli. Their friends trying to hook their friends up. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm like I said, it totally, because Seinfeld didn't start off with a Harry Met Sally vibe, but it certainly evolved into that. And kudos to them for not outright copying, you know. But oh Lord, it sounded like I was a dog barking or something like that. Somebody could clip that up, and I'm glad I ain't on camera, because I'd be embarrassed. But anyway, you can see that it was a total ripoff. But it was certainly inspirational. And I will admit to that, or have to admit to that. I admitted to that. I have no idea. But I kept saying, oh my gosh, this is Seinfeld. Y'all can go and look at the whole clip again. It's at Film Magician on YouTube. It's 20, you can see it's like almost 20 minutes. It's really, really good. A lot of insight. You know, I always like to get it straight from the horse's mouths, if you will. From Efron and Ryan, and it goes on how they got, you saw how they got together, the process of making it and editing it. Because Efron, when she said, because that, like movies, they don't shoot everything in sequence. They shoot things out of sequence. So they shot the ending first. Well, at first she thought it was going to be like, oh, this is going to be the greatest movie ever. Then she saw the ending, the dailies, the rushes that they call it. And she's like, this is going to be a disaster. So go and see why she said that. Go and see about how she is the inspiration for the ordering. And they have a great, and I think you kind of alluded to the orgasm scene, how that got placed in there. And that's Rob Reiner's mother who says the famous line, I'm not going to say it, I want y'all to, because I don't want to ruin the joke for those of you who haven't seen it. So yeah, go check that out on YouTube. Again, Film Magicians, When Harry Met Sally, discussion with Nora Ephron and Rob Reiner. Well, Georgia, that's all I have. I'm glad we got into that movie. Scenes from a Marriage, he brought that up. That's a really good one. That's a tough one. That's a dark, 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 dark movie with Ingrid Bergman. But that's a good one, too. I don't know. We can do that one. We'll put it somewhere. But that's a dark one. So what is our next movie, Georgia?
Roman Holiday with yes. Audrey Hepburn.
Yes, we are in a romantic mood, I guess. I don't know how we got it. Look, I always forget to say this. If you have a movie you want us to talk about, please DM us at our Facebook page, how Betty Davis Saved My Life. DM us and let us know what you think. You can always comment and chat live with us and let us know what you think. We know we have a great audience, so we always welcome constructive, respectful criticism. Always, always welcome. So yes, Roman Holiday. So and then we switch it on up to a musical, Grease, on the 22nd of June. So have some fun stuff coming up. We try to do it. We try to get everybody on here. We try to cover the bases.
We sure do. And I'm gonna borrow like a little phrase. I'm gonna start working this in like in my New York accent. I'm gonna say, it's like a good melon, you just know.
Yes, yes. And when they say Cass Deli, if that's the same Cass, the national chain, I've eaten there, and I love Reuben's, and it's like the freshest Reuben, and they just this pile of meat and the sauerkraut. Yum, 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 yum. So have you ever eaten there before?
I have eaten at Cass's Deli. Yes, I love it.
Yes, so I love that, those Reuben sandwiches. Well, anyway, guys, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and follow us on Facebook and on YouTube. And again, shout out to all our podcast listeners. Thank you all so much for hanging in there with us. So for How Betty Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood, I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
And we'll see you on the 8th for Roman Holiday. You guys take care. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, Georgia, for your service. And shout out to all the veterans, past, present, and even future ones, but past and present, for their sacrifices and even the ultimate sacrifice. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everyone.